I'm your host, Samaita Graver, and I want to welcome you to Truth, Salt, and Spice, the podcast, where you will find conversations steeped in biblical truths, sprinkled with salt, and a dash of spice thrown in, you know, for good measure.
Anywho, hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
How was the Christmas?
Full of food.
What?
I don't even want to talk about it. Oh yeah, I made a chicken in the little oven that I had. It was disgusting. It wasn't even. I was so mad.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible.
I didn't season it like overnight and all that other stuff. It was just like a quick okay, déjame decir, and it was just. And I really don't make whole chickens. I make like the pieces, which I prefer. But so it was a bad food night. But I made an awesome dessert. I made up for it in that way. But Olivia was like, good. We should order Popeyes. I was like, great.
That's funny.
Very funny, but yeah.
Oh my goodness. That's funny.
Good.
I made lasagna and the flavor was great. I still haven't mastered it in the middle. It still was like soft. It didn't, the edges were okay. So I don't know.
One of the things that you do is you take your noodles. And if they're, are they the dry noodles? Did you use the dry noodles?
I did.
And they were and it was still mushy?
It's not that it's mushy. Like the noodles aren't, it just, the stuff in the middle is just liquidy. Like it doesn't hold.
Yeah. You dry out your noodles. That's one thing. And with the sauce, you don't make it saucy. You make it meat, more meat than sauce.
And I was wondering if that's what it was.
Yeah, if you make it more meat, but dry out your noodles too. Dry noodles are dry noodles, but I use like the regular noodles and then I just dry them out before I put them in because the noodles sometimes hold on to the liquid and also cause it to be, but your sauce needs to be more meat than sauce. And if you have
I did use a really thick sauce too. So I'll try next time.
Yeah, and you also double the layers on the noodles. Like don't put just one layer of noodles.
Oh no,
like
I had three.
Oh, so then no, your liquid, your sauce is too liquid.
Yeah, it was too liquid. So anyway, but it was really good in flavor. So
good.
I had really good lasagna, homemade bread, and so that was good. And Thanksgiving Day, my kids didn't come over, but we celebrated Christmas on the 26th, and that was a whole thing. It was so much fun, so much fun. We did this, I don't know if you heard of the wrapping and plastic the saran wrap thing. Yep. So I took a bunch of money and did layers and layers and layers and just the kids played, no adults. Mm. It was, you know, my oldest and his wife and then the other three kids, which one is an adult, the other two teenagers. And I just stood there and, you know, they rolled the dice and oh my gosh, it was
I need
so
to hear about that at some
fun.
Point because I have no idea what you talk. I know you talked about it before, like what that means, but not today.
My goodness. It was so funny. So fun. So that was good. But in the middle of that, oh girls, I got this message from somebody. I've been somewhat estranged from my father for years. We talk on and off, whatever, but he got really sick and was out of the hospital. And then he was stuck at home without any transportation. I went and picked him up on Christmas Day and his sugar was 500 something, even at that point. And he had already left the hospital and he didn't have a way to getting his insulin. And so I brought him home. He stayed here until this morning, till today. I went and dropped him off his apartment. Mm. But let me tell you something. I have mad respect for people who take care of their elderly.
Yeah.
That's parents or whatever, because I'm just like, I'm a geriatric nurse here, like making sure the insulin and check your sugar. And I don't know anything about diabetes. I mean, I was just kind of thrown into this in a sense. And, so it was interesting for our relationship. I feel bad for him. Because when he was in my life as a kid, he was a great dad, but he lost his way and we just kind of been, he's just not. I know people use this word toxic a lot these days, which I don't think just because somebody is human, they're toxic. But in this case, I'm like, yeah, it's not somebody I wanted, you know, in my life all the time. Just not good. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Because it's not the topic of the podcast.
Yes.
But in general, But it's I'm exhausted between hosting and trying to take care of this man and making sure he eats and coming up and down steps so he didn't have to come up steps as much, and mm-hmm. cleaning toilets every time he peed because I don't know why he wouldn't make it in. Finally, it's like, you need to sit down because I'm not mm-hmm. cleaning any more floors. And
yeah. Yeah, there's no nurse here.
Oh yeah. So I am mm-hmm. I'm exhausted. Aww. Like, I'm so tired. So tired. But you know what? Christmas was one of the best ones, even with all that I've had.
Oh, God.
Probably the best one I've had. It was a lot of fun. It was good.
Oh,
it was
so good.
Good times had. Yeah. You know, speaking of unrealistic expectations, or even expectations in general, that is not what I was expecting to have to pick up my father and have him in my house, because yeah. I wouldn't even let him come here. So for me to actually mm-hmm. pick him up and let him in. The poor guy, he would cry all the time. I feel bad for him. But he was so, like, ecstatic that I let him in the house. So, now people listening to this are probably thinking, you're a horrible person. Like, really? I just don't want to tell the backstory, but it's
boundaries.
I'm not.
Well, no, they're called boundaries.
I'm not a horrible person. And actually, yeah. the fact that I did pick him up, and he today said, wow, I didn't really expect that you would, you know, do this for me. I said, I'm not petty. I don't keep, mm-hmm. you know. Keep tabs. Like, if you need help, I will help you. Mm-hmm. It's like, but I'm very much like, you need help, not because yeah. of your choices. I'm going to go run and no.
No, boundaries can be.
Yes,
can
look, they're like, boundaries.
Their boundaries can look mean, mm-hmm. but they're appropriate.
Yeah. And in this case, necessary. It's mm-hmm. it's so, been yeah. appropriate and necessary. So,
absolutely.
But yeah, I brought him home and then I prayed. I'm like, oh Lord, please don't let me have made a mistake here. Like, I have no problem honoring, you know, him as my father and helping him out, but I hope I didn't bring trouble into my home. But it was fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so drop him off and going later, I had made this big huge pot of soup for him because he doesn't have any teeth on top of that, so he can't mm-hmm. eat well. So mm-hmm. hopefully, and then I'm like, I have to go back all the way across town to take this pot of soup so he can heat up food. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that is a new thing now in my life, mm-hmm. sort of taking care of my dad, sort of, I guess. He's not that old either, so he needs to learn to take care of himself better and get his sugar regulated by mm-hmm. eating better and
yeah.
mm-hmm. take care of himself, because it's not like he can't. He's mm-hmm. just not making the best choices. So I'm kind of low key, but anyway, let's get on with the topic at hand, which is we were going to start talking this year a bit, and as we went through the year, about unrealistic expectations and how that comes out and what it looks like spiritually and our relationship with God. I know with Kai, the episode we talked about a bit about, or a lot actually, fasting and just different things like that as well. So I think that's basically where we're going to start at.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Jessica, do you want to talk about expectations, unrealistic ones, more realistic ones, whichever?
Yeah, and it's funny because I think you think that it's not a good segue in, but I think your current situation is the perfect segue in mm-hmm. of how we think things will go one way, and then all of a sudden life throws us a curveball and it looks very different. And mm-hmm. I think 2020 was the perfect example of that. And what I think my fear is more than any other year is that because 2020 was such a heavy year, that those unrealistic expectations that people have come the new year every year are going to be even like more unrealistic,
yeah.
or they're going to be even more far-fetched than before. Because what I tend to see, and then especially again, just let's talk from the Christian world. We're not even talking, you know, kind of just the world in general, but you get the people that start the year fasting every year, right? And so it's the church is fasting as a whole, and you're spending however many weeks fasting, and you're praying for these things, and you're just kind of putting your heart and soul all in to these hopes that you have for this year. But I think what I've learned, because I've been there, done that. So I'm not coming from a place of judgment. I'm coming from a place of having been there and having had to process through it, is mm-hmm. I'm fasting to get to the point, you know, to really seek God's will, but I'm asking for all of my hopes and my desires and my ways and all of those things. And I'm not yes. really giving him the space to tell me what he wants of this year, you know, type thing. Then you have just kind of the general, the new diet, the, you know, everybody's going to the gym now, everybody's trying whatever new. And it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, yes, with the new year, you know, there's hopes, you know, but I mean, let's remember every day there's new mercies every morning. So it's, I think if we don't set our hearts to a place where it's like, no, this is how every day should feel for us. You know, God gives us new mercies every day. It is a new opportunity every day. Then we put a whole lot of expectations and a whole lot of weight on this new year. And then when things don't go the way that we hoped, we're crushed. And we are. We're emotionally, we're taxed, we're crushed. We don't know what to do. We get mad at God.
Yeah.
You know, why would you allow this? And why would you allow that? And all of these things. But I don't know that we necessarily set ourselves up from the beginning with the right frame of mind to be able to understand, okay, life is unexpected, you know? And I've seen this go around a lot lately, this verse, and I'm pretty sure it's in Proverbs, where it says, a man plans out his ways, but the Lord orders his steps. And it's really the way we should be, you know? Yes, we should go to the Lord with our hopes and our prayers. And yes, we should fast about specific things. But we shouldn't do it with this whole notion of it's a new year, it's a new start. Okay, ready to go. No, we should be doing it with that heart and that place of, okay, Lord, what are we doing now? Okay, we had one whole year that passed. Reflecting on that, because I think if we anticipate without reflecting, we miss it too.
Right.
So those are the things that I would say I'm kind of at with. All the different years kind of behind me, all the years of fasting, all the years of just trying something new, the word of the year, because that's a whole, you know, that's another one, getting your word of the year, getting your little key made with your stuff on it, like so many different things that people do, right?
Your intention.
But are we doing it with the right posture? I think that is where I would get you. Where's our posture in that, you know?
Well, let me ask you ladies to share, if you can think of an instance in your life where, you went in and realized later that you didn't stop to listen or to ask, like, so your posture, I see Leslie's like, so well, do you have 3 hours?
I know. Is that, you have another that podcast. Was? Do you have another hour podcast?
Yeah. You know, because I hear you, Jessica. I totally agree and get it. Like, if this isn't a question of really, you know, prove it. It's like, oh, let me give you some tangibles, you know, along the way. Because I, because of, I think, my personality on top of childhood, or because of childhood, you know, molding personality, whichever came first, the what is it, the horse or the cart? Or the, whatever it is. I am a doer. Like, I see something needs to be done or I want something and I just go. And I remember jokingly, I would tell people that I was the god of my own little universe, the goddess of my universe. And it still is very hard for me to stop first and be like, okay, God, where am I going to join you? As opposed to just do stuff and then be like, oh yeah, I left God behind. I mean, technically, you know, he's with us, but I have that personality. So it's not like I'm literally living behind. But I just don't, I have not always been the one to think of show yourself to me, God, you know, or these are my desires. Do they fit with yours? Does this go with your plan? Does this meet where you are working already? You know, having that humility and that posture of these are the desires of my heart. Do they match what you have for me? You know, I do pray that sometimes often. It's like, you know, I like this, I want this, but does this match what you have already for me waiting, which is much better than I could even think of. Or, you know, I'll pray that, or I'll just say, please let me desire what you already have waiting for me. Because, you know, when we think about what we desire, it's not always, even good things aren't necessarily for us. I wouldn't say they don't come from God, because if it's good, it does, but it not maybe be for us. That open door, that thing, maybe for somebody else. Know, and so just because it's good and we can doesn't mean it's for us or for me, you know, for me. So I'm very, very clear and aware of that. But intellectually, I get that. But in my sinful nature, I go forward and it's just about getting things done. And I haven't pursued that. And then, of course, I end up disappointed.
Yeah.
So this past episode that I recorded, you know, with Kai, we were talking about fasting. And, you know, I know we're not supposed to tell people we're fasting, whatnot, but for the purpose of the podcast, you know, I shared that I have it set on my heart that to begin the new year, I'm going to fast for 40 days and I'm going to fast social media. It's my crack. It really is. But there are the two desires of my heart. One is shorter term, one is longer term. And I want to set a little weekend retreat thing for women. And I'm thinking, is this the year? Like, I've been thinking a lot of like the end of summer, like August or whatever, and just, you know, doing that. But I also want to own property or a bit of land and have a retreat center per se. And I'm looking at somewhere in Puerto Rico. So, you know, Leslie's over there, maybe. And so, you know, and so I've had that. But again, I think because I haven't exercised the muscle of, is this, you know, something that you, that I would join you in for women? Or is this just something that I want myself? It's good, but doesn't mean it may necessarily be for me, you know? And so they're both, you know, they're both connected. And Kai was just like, well, they're both connected. It sounds like it probably is a God thing. And, you know, it's fine. But I have so much chatter that I feel paralyzed in my head. And I'm like, I need to get out of everything. Yes. I'm going to go dark for 40 days.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see what God opens and where he takes me and what happens, you know, from here.
Yeah.
And it's the first time I've ever done something like this.
That's a good thing.
But again, like I'm trying to, one of the things that I love about this podcast, or even when I've coached women, like I learn a lot from watching other people and how they live. And I love other people making mistakes so I don't have to make them.
hold my coquito so I can tell you what I did. Hold my coquito so I can tell you what I did.
Yes. Oh, my coquito. So, you know, and so I'm doing this for the first time, but you know, it's about time. You know, it's one of these things, like I've been a Christian for 20 something years, half of my life, you know, at this point, about a little under. And it's just like, why? Like, you know it intellectually, but you know, whatever. I'm not one to beat myself up, but I'm there. So I'm getting there and I'm going to do that. And I'm eager to tell you how it went and where, you know, I end up meeting God and what he's already doing and what, you know, he reveals to me. But at the same time, I don't know what'll happen. It may be about this stuff. It may be about other things. I have no idea. So we, you know, we shall see. So I'm holding it very loosely, and I'm excited about it. So anyway, well, who wants to take it?
I think when I think about that even statement, I think about my career in higher education. You know, for those that are listening, I was I've been in higher education administrator for over 20 years. And I think just like you, I was the center of my universe and I really controlled and manipulated a lot of how I went up. And I was able to scale and be very successful in that career, you know, being dean of students, my dream job, like doing all types of things. And I became a Christian like in the middle of that career. And my favorite scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper, because I'm a planner. Like you, like I plan. So when I plan, I am not always detailed, but I plan, I think ahead, I'm strategic. So it's a scripture that holds dear to my heart because I'm like, if I know when I plan what happens, I can imagine what God has, right? Like his plans are bigger. If I know how to plan and do it well, like I can imagine what he's bringing. And so my entire career was like that. It was like plan after plan after plan after plan and things. But what happened was that my entire identity began to be wrapped up in what I can do and who I was and where I was. And God was in it, but he wasn't. And he was in it, and he really wasn't. And my entire career was wrapped up in this identity, not as a child of God, but as a dean. And slowly but surely, God started taking away all those titles. All those responsibilities that I had, they started just slowly coming away. And it was heartbreaking because this is what I built my identity around, was who I was. And it was slow and painful, but I got to a place where I got through that. And then I entered into a new space where I was like, okay, now I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to coach women. I want to do these things, but I really don't know what I'm doing, right? As a dean and having a degree in higher education, you have a path. I want to be a dean. I know exactly where to go, right? With entrepreneurship, there really is no like hey, well, I don't know what I'm doing. So I really have to sort of figure things out. And I remember the posture, Jessica, that you talked about. When I was leaving this job, that year in 2018 was the worst, one of my worst years, you know, and it was a year where I prayed more, cried out more, listened more, and really was like, Lee, I don't know what's happening. This is a crazy year. So you're going to have to tell me what's going on. And that year was the year that what I was asking for came true. A lot of things that I wanted actually happened. And that was the year that I started, somebody that you and I are a lot alike in that. Like, I'm a doer. If I want to do something, I get it done. I wanted a website, I created it. I wanted to do this, I started writing. I just do whatever I want, I manifest, right? But that was the first year that I was like, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to keep planning, because that career that I had was amazing and it's led me to here, but it was exhausting. I was constantly, you know, trying to get things done, trying to climb, trying to do. Then I worked myself up into an exhaustion where I just was burnt out. And it took me over a year to heal from that time period. And now my posture, because it is a posture. I love that word that you use, because it is a posture. Now my posture is I can plan and I know what I kind of want. But it's more like when I don't plan and I just ask God, you show me where you want me to go and listen and sit back. I feel so much freedom now. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that stress of having to strive anymore, that I got to do. For me now, it's like, and this was the me today is so different from back then. And this was only like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And then now my posture is really, you know, Lord, I want to do this. But if that's not what you want, please tell me so that I can start working on this, because I don't want it. Like, I really want to work on this. Tell me. And I think that planner in me is that striver is how God created me. You know, that he made me, right? He made me like that. So it's not that that thing that I have is bad, but I feel more freedom with the posture of just tell me where you want me to go. And if it takes me 5 or 6 years to get there, I'm okay. Whereas before I was striving because I wanted things done like immediately, mm-hmm. you know, like
yeah.
on my timeline, where now I'm like, bueno, señor, if it takes 5 years to get to where I want to go, that happens. If I want to do things like now I have my goals and I have things that I want to accomplish and miracles that I want to see happen, straight mm-hmm. up miracles that I want to see happen this year. And I'm giving them to him, but it's no longer me striving to get there. Now the posture is, if you want me there, you'll make a way and you'll show mm-hmm. me and you'll lead me. And now my prayers are very different. It's like, because my posture is more like, I want to, like, when I think about people that I admire, the rides that they have been on, because they've been led by the Holy Spirit, have been exciting. Mm-hmm. And when I planned my life, it was accomplished, mm-hmm. but not exciting. It was filled with, you know, accolades, mm-hmm. but not exciting. Now I want to live in excitement, and I want to live in Holy Spirit excitement. I want to live in, what are we going to do today? What's happening today? What are we doing today? And the only way to do that is with a posture of humility and a posture mm-hmm. of, you tell me where to go and I'll go.
Well, because there's a difference between striving, which will drain you.
Yeah.
And it drains you in all areas of life. Then there is this difference of being exhausted doing good and doing mm-hmm. what's right. So yeah. you'll be tired, but it doesn't drain you emotionally like it is when you're just off mm-hmm. the path. And I know that. Like when I go to Guatemala and I'm serving and we are like busting our butts doing different things, I am exhausted, but I'm not cranky. I'm not wondering what I'm doing. I'm not questioning anything. I'm just tired, but I love it. And I come home and I'm fed. Mm-hmm. It's different when you're doing something on purpose than when you're striving for yourself. Right. And you'll still get tired. It's not like things won't be challenging, I think, and things are tiresome, but it gives you life as opposed to draining and killing your spirit.
And it is a posture. Yep. And I realized that at the second half of my career, I want to live an exciting life. I don't need the accolades anymore. I know, Lord, I already had that. Like I did that and I had that. I want to serve and I want to live a Holy Spirit exciting life. Like where are we going this time? Mm-hmm. With the understanding after 2018, which was a really hard year emotionally, I saw what he did and he got me through that. And so my whole thing is, you got me through that, you're there, right? So if you got me through that, you'll get me through stuff. So I don't want to be so concerned with what happens versus understanding that if he's going to give me this door that's opened, he'll give me the grace to go through it. And I have to be okay with that.
Well, and as I'm listening to you, and I think this is the piece, again, as we head into New Year's, as we talk about dreams, all of those things, there was a stripping and a pruning that happened to you to get you to the place.
Oh, yes.
Where then you can say, okay, Lord, let's do what you want to do. And
yes.
And that is honestly the true heart of fasting. Yeah. Like, if we're going to fast, it is not bad to do a corporate fast. It is not bad to whatever. No, these are all good things, like you were saying, Samaita. But if we go into them thinking, I am bringing this before the Lord, I'm giving this up for the next 40 days, and then I'm going to get answers, you are going to be disappointed, because the Lord may not answer you in those 40 days. Mm-hmm. You may not. The Lord may reveal other things to you. Mm-hmm. The Lord may give you, and I'm not just saying specifically for you, Samaita, I'm saying in general.
It's, you may not get that answer. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's being okay with that. I mean, so my small group just finished 40 days of fasting. We started November 1st through December 10th. And let me tell you, it was hard. And why was it hard? One, I was thankful that we did it together as a group, right? And we were even simple, though. It wasn't even like a full-on 40 days get rid of things. It was, we were in prayer for the 40 days, and then we specifically selected one day each week. Ours was Wednesday, because that's the day that we would meet, where we would fast from sundown, you know, from dinner the day before to dinner that day. We break bread together. But let me tell you, the brokenness in that time, the getting to the point of, like, we were raw and honest that we got to the point where it was like, girl, I couldn't pray no more. Like, mm-hmm. I just have nothing to pray. I have nothing to say. I have nothing. Like, I feel like I'm depleted.
Empty.
But that's the point of fasting, because it's this depleting of ourselves and our way of thinking and our way of doing, mm-hmm. and just allowing him to show us, because it may be that he shows us in that time, man, maybe God wasn't really a priority in my life the way that I thought he was. He was a checklist point.
Yeah.
Got up in the morning, did my devotion, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever the case may was, moved on, and then never brought him into the rest of my day.
Yeah.
And so as we talk about expectations and New Year and all of that, my hope is that whoever's listening to this would understand that when you start at this posture of humility, when you ask the Lord to align your heart to his, because I think you're right, Samaita, those are the times when I've seen the Lord move the most. Right. And when the Lord is stirring something in us, the other thing that I always realize is it's not anything that there are things that excite me and that what I want to do, but that terrify me at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that's usually how I know, like, okay, Lord, you're stirring this in me now. And I mean, for me, I would say, you know, as an example, I remember the year. So 2017 was the year that we moved from Chicago to Charlotte. And when we moved that year, the Lord had already placed 2 years prior. The Lord had already, in prayer and fasting, shown my husband, you're moving. And let me tell you, Missy over here, who thinks I know how my life is going, I was a brat. And I said, well, he's going to have to show me.
I mean, so send me that memo.
I would have never guessed you were like that.
You know?
Send me that memo. Like that.
It's so surprising, but
surprising.
But that was me, right? I needed my heart to be aligned to him. I needed that, if this was really it, because my mom, my sister, my family, ministry, I was born and raised in church. Right. So I had so many connections. I had just, I was about to get my master's. Like you said, there were so many of the things that I had going that I was like, I'm not moving, you know? And then the way that he did it, though. Mm-hmm. So then again, where we plan, right? And we're like, okay, well, I'm going to do this. And then the Lord's going to tell me this. And then we're going to do that. Well, in 2017, we started the year fasting like we normally would start. And it was just this thing of like, okay, I think we just need to be ready. You know, my heart had changed. He aligned it. We're ready. But then it was, I had it very mapped out, you know, because for me, it was going to be, well, I need to make sure that we're going to do this smart. We're not going to get ourselves into a situation. I'm going to look for a job, and then I'm going to make sure we have a job lined up, and I'm going
to
do
all of
these.
Did you know you were moving to Charlotte? Is that, did you know, you knew that? You knew that much?
Knew that much.
Okay. Okay.
That was it. Like the Lord, it was random. It was weird, but we just knew Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to plan it. Then I have a lovely conversation with my best friend, and she's like, oh, so when you can map out all the details, then you'll trust God. So that's your version of faith.
I like your friend.
And so I was like, okay. Oh. So then what happens? We literally turn around. I give my notice. So I gave my boss 30 days notice. I gave my landlord notice. I had no job. We had no place to come. We knew nothing. That was working on faith. And then the other part, though, to this that becomes really hard is the expectation of I'm following what God told me to do, so it's all going to work out great. Mm. And that's the other false expectation, because God did not promise us a smooth ride. He said, take your cross and follow me, right? Cross is heavy. A cross is exhausting.
Inconvenient.
Inconvenient. A cross leaves you bruised and hurting, because it's just too much to bear, right? So we take up our cross. So we move here. I follow, and I know I'm in the Lord's will. Like 100% know that I'm in the Lord's will.
So you had no idea what you were doing. You guys just got up and left.
And so within 30 days, I came down here. Like, we had come a few times to kind of see. So we knew, like, if we move, what area. I had to come by myself because we had just gone on vacation twice, once in for Labor Day, once in June. So my husband couldn't take off again when then he needed to take off to move. I came by myself. I looked for a place, FaceTime, all of these things, right? We get a place, we pack it up, we move down here. There is excitement. There is just joy. There's everything. And I asked the Lord, okay, Lord, I want to be able, whatever job I start, I want to be able to just get the boys at least that first week of school settled in. You know, it's a new place for them. But mind you, I had just finished my master's in 2016. Mm-hmm. So I have a master's in communication from Northwestern University. I went to a Big Ten school. I'm thinking I got the network. I got the name behind it. I was the CFO of my job, you know, at the last place that I worked at in Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. And there's nothing. I applied to over 30 jobs. And one of the jobs had two recommendations and got nothing. So if you want to talk about the Lord slamming doors shut.
Amen.
And walking in confliction emotionally of, I fasted. I listened.
I did all the things.
I did all the things.
All the things.
And now I don't know what to do.
Amen.
And let me tell you, be real raw and honest, because I haven't shared this with everyone, but I mean, it's part of my story. I came down here 4 months without a job. We ended up having to file bankruptcy mm-hmm. when we moved down here. Mm-hmm. It was hard. We were lonely. I cried because I took care of everybody. Everybody was good. My husband was good. I made sure everybody got in community. You know, all the things that you do to make sure you're settled. And I battled it with God. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is what you brought me down here for?
By it.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, but let me tell you,
this is where obedience leads me. This is where obedience leads me, you know?
And that's the hard part about it. My fasting, my prayer, my expectations were one thing, but the Lord was stripping me of something completely different.
That's right.
But I could tell you 2 years later now, 2 years. So that was 2017 we moved, 2018 we had to file, 2 years later, we bought our house this year.
Mm-hmm. You bought a house with bankruptcy on your record?
Yes, girl. Wow. And let me tell you, with mm-hmm. one of the best rates. And I had the smoothest closing, the smoothest everything that you could have ever imagined. So when I tell you God's favor in a neighborhood that is normally 20 to 30,000 more, the houses than what we paid for ours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So God's favor shown it. Let me tell you where I work. I work for a women's ministry. I never thought I'd be in ministry again. I worked in ministry when we were in Chicago. I was like, been there, done that, Lord. I'm not doing it again. Like, because you see the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? Mm-hmm. I work in ministry. I have an amazing, amazing team around me. I'm loved. I'm taken care of. Like, I can see the fruit of all of it now.
Yes.
But let me tell you, 2 years ago, I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, I was angry with God because it was like, I did what you told me to do.
Right, right. And so I did my list, my checklist, my planner's checklist, all the religious spiritual things that we're supposed to do. Yeah, yeah. But God works, but God's working even in that. You know, like we get so, you know, in our humanity, we just get so wrapped up in our feelings and in our silliness. When God is like, keep up, like I'm working in you. I'm working in you, you know? Oh, I love
it. Let me tell you, it's that pruning and it's that stripping. Yes. Because what did the Lord work on with us in those times? How to be more disciplined. Yes. And let me tell you, you want to know what else I was angry about? Because I'm like, when I had to file for bankruptcy, I'm like, at least if I would have lived it up, then maybe, you know, like, oh, right? I would have felt that I had to, but like, I wasn't living it up.
Right. Yeah, you end up in bankruptcy struggling. Yeah.
I was, right. Like, it was one of those where it was like, man, I got nothing to show for it. I even got a new car. Like my micro machine of a car is like, it's 7 years old, you know, mm-hmm. like, so it's those things where it was like, okay, God, but what did he show me? He showed me grace. Mm-hmm. He showed me love. He showed me discipline. He showed me how to fully trust in him. Mm-hmm. He showed me how I was my God, mm-hmm. how I thought I was not prideful.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, if you would have asked me in 2015, 16, 17, 18, is Just prideful? No. Other people would have told you, no, Just is not prideful. Mm-hmm. I'll clean your toilets. I'll do whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, my heart is to serve. So I am prideful about cleaning somebody's toilets, you know, type thing. Oh, but that's not but it was a different pride.
It's a different pride.
It was a different pride. It was the, I always wanted to be viewed by others a certain way.
I'm educated. I'm educated.
I made it. I got it together. All of those things. And so when he had to show me my pride there, talk about breaking expectations.
Yeah.
Talk about it. Because it's one of those like, okay, Lord, this is what you do now. Mm-hmm. So now, let me tell you the difference. Now, last year, or this year, actually, 2020, so in 2020, because it's January 2021 now. But we did prayer and fasting with our boys at the beginning of 2020. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to teach them what it's like to just spend time with the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And so we broke it out by week. And when I go back and I looked at the things that we prayed for, I'm like, I don't know that there's anything that the Lord didn't answer for me in 2020. Mm-hmm. In the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of heartache, in the middle of just life changing, like, we got our house. That was on the list. Mm-hmm. It was like, because the Lord had already stirred in my heart in 2019, be prepared because you're going to get it. Mm. And so we prayed, okay, I don't want to go ahead of you. It can be this. It could be 2020. It could be 2022. You know, like, right. I'm not going to go ahead of you. But, I mean, down to everything, we literally put on our list the house, that it would be a smooth process, that we would have peace. The size of the house that we needed. And this was pre-COVID. So it was like four bedrooms with an office. We wanted amenities, you know, I wanted the roof good. I wanted the plumbing. I wanted the electrical. The roof was put brand new a few years ago. My HVAC was put in brand new in 2020. So it was the things that down to the minute, right? Then we prayed healing. So I don't know, a lot of people may not know this, but my youngest was born with a liver condition and we knew he would get to a point that he needed to be on the transplant list. Well, he got to that point, not because he's not doing horrible, but because his body's at the point where he needs it. Mm-hmm. Then October 29th was our visit when we finally said, okay, let's move forward, right? As of December 24th, he is officially on the transplant list listed.
Amen.
Who does that?
Yeah.
So when we
I don't know how that works, but I imagine it takes a while to get on that list.
I know people that it's been years.
Hallelujah.
I know that so many things. And so again, we aligned our hearts with the Lord. The Lord asked us, what are the desires of your heart in this year? Our desire was, we want to see you, more of you. And these are the things that in my flesh, in my nature, that I would like to see. I want a house. I want this, because it's not bad to have those things.
Right.
But I want it in you and for you. And so when we do those things, I can tell you, like, this is hard. Walking through a transplant with your kid and all of that comes with that, that's not easy.
No.
But I have, like, literally the biggest peace in my heart over all of it, because you can see God's hand.
Right.
And so that is what the shift in expectation does.
Right.
That is when you start the year acknowledging to say, okay, God, it is a new year. So in this year, I want to give you more of me, all of me. You know, I thought I gave you all of me before, but there's never a time we really give God all of us. So every year we got to, like, push for that a little bit more and a little bit more to say, okay, what part of me am I holding back? And when you can lay it all at his feet and say, I feel you stirring this in my heart. I feel these desires. I'm laying them at your feet now. Show me if this is the way you want me to go. Show me if this is what you want me to do. And then you move, because it's not just a, okay, I'm praying and I'm throwing it up to God and that's it. No, it's you start doing the things little by little. You start. So, like, for us, it was, okay, so what does a house look like? If we're feeling the Lord is stirring this and we're putting it here, okay, what do I need to do? Who do I need to talk to? I mean, I went as far as I interviewed lenders and realtors because I'm like, you're working for me. I'm not just going with the first person, right? Because I wanted my heart. Like, okay, God, who do you want to be a part of this process? Who are you going to witness to through this? And so there was an option to go with a Christian realtor, and then there was a non-Christian realtor. And we felt that we needed to go with the non-Christian realtor, that he needed to see how God's favor was over us.
Amen.
And so that's bringing God into the process of something. That's not just sitting back and waiting for a house to drop on my lap. So yes, there's a certain amount of doing that you do, but in all of it, it has to be doing with consulting God and through all of it. And and that's what it was for us. That to me, I'll tell you, those are the examples of differences of when I have expectations and I laid it out before the Lord and the Lord was like, huh, no. And then when it was like, okay, God, I need to invite you in through this whole thing, not just part of it.
Right.
Because especially for us planners, the Lord gives us one answer and then we plan out all the rest.
Forget it. We got all the details.
And we didn't consult him. And then we didn't consult him in the rest of it. And then we wonder why something wasn't the way that.
And then I think that you said and I think that when the key to understanding, when you get so angry and so bent out of shape, when it doesn't happen, is because it was you, you know, and you know, at that point that if you're like, because it's you, that's a clear indication that it was you, because, you know, we have to learn, I think, in our walks to have the expectation and also to have that. You know, I was just reading today. I think it was a meme or something on Instagram that was like, expect miracles. Like, we serve a big God. And I think that when we walk around with these little desires, like, we just put God in such a small box. Like, of course he can give you a house in the middle of a pandemic and do all these things. Of course he can. Expect miracles. Like, why are we walking around with this expectation that God is good? But understand that if he doesn't give it to us, it's not because he's not big. It's because it just either wasn't for you at that moment, or he may be wanting to give you something else, you know? And I think that when you get to that posture where you're willing to sort of walk with him instead of ahead of him, and you begin to see, if it didn't shake out, it's because it wasn't him, and I can't wait to see what happens. I think that happened, like, even with Aquinas closing. Like, my high school, I work at a high school now, I'm an entrepreneur, and earlier this year, because of the pandemic, our school, after 95 years, is closing. And I remember people frantically, like, looking for jobs, and people are like, and I was like, whoa, what's God going to do with this? You know, like, and that was very different from 2018, Leslie. 2018, Leslie would have been like, well, let me get my resume out because I'm a dean and I know I can find a job anywhere and I could do. I'm like, ooh, Lord, what you going to do with that? I can't wait. Let's see what happens. And people are like, so what's going to happen? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. And that's a very different posture, in that I'm excited and I'm expecting God, not me, God to do exceedingly and abundantly more than I could ever think or dream. I'm waiting and I'm living in that expectation. And if that doesn't happen and I'm just same old, that's good too, because at least I'm still in the same place, right?
Right.
But I'm still expecting. And I think that when we start shifting our minds to when I made my way up at Columbia and I did my thing, you know, I got the glory because I look what I did. Look how I got up here. Look. But when he's doing it, one, it's so much better. It's so much better. And he gets the glory. You know, he gets the glory. And it's always, I think there's just a difference. And I'm excited to be living in 2020 with God. This, you know, versus the 2018 Leslie. This one, I feel God just differently in this season. And expecting. And really just sitting in expectation and waiting on him to say, you know, this is next and where to move and go this place. So that's, oh my goodness, Jessica, your story, you don't even know how your story blessed me. And I tell you, it just really blessed me. That's, I love it. I love it. I can't wait.
Yeah, I've been kind of speechless sitting here thinking that's crazy because I would have never done that. I'm exactly like, all right, fine, I'm moving. But then it's just like, okay, all these things have to be in a row because I'm not putting myself in a situation to suffer unnecessarily. Why would I do that? Right, crazy. Right. But, you know.
If you heard God and he told you, because that's not everybody's situation, but if he told you, do it, it's like Charles Stanley said, if God tells you to jump, like put your head through a hole, then do it and he'll make a hole for it. You know, if he tells you to put your head through a wall, trust that he'll make a hole for your head. You got to trust that. If he's telling you to do something, just trust that he'll make a way, you know?
Well, and in order to get to those points, which is where I'm repenting and looking for a different way, is walking in communion with him, things I think are clearer. And I think a lot of times, and it goes both ways. So I want to get close here to wrapping up because I know we're going to be better at wrapping up the podcast at a reasonable time. So we have the, I'm hearing you and I don't want to do this because it's scary. And then there's, I'm hearing you and I don't want to do this because it excites you, but it's success is scary as well. And so you have those two things, and we start paving, or at least I start paving the way. And I have done this over and over and over again, that I get to a point where I can't do it on my own anymore. And then I get stuck.
Yeah.
And I stay there. And then I just start reeling. And then I just look for another shortcut and do something else you know, meanwhile. And I'm just like, why these shortcuts just take longer to get to the destination, you know, and I'm learning things along the way. Mm-hmm. Which is okay because, you know, I'm building with the perseverance, I'm building some amount of character.
Right.
But the disobedience is a hard, the price I'm paying for disobedience is a high one, as opposed to going in faith. And maybe, yes, like you struggled through stuff that you even went through bankruptcy and, you know, all that. But should you have not done that, who knows what would have happened and it would have been worse.
Right.
It could have been so much worse. Right. You know, I don't know what's worse than bankruptcy, to be honest, but there's so many things, many plethora of things that could have happened. And so, you know, as we embrace this new year, I'm going to wrap up my, whatever you girls can wrap up your thing, as embracing the new year and I'm going to do this fasting thing. You know, I do have in mind the whole thing of retreats and, you know, where God wants me to go in some ways, but that really isn't the purpose of it. And whether we literally fast or not, I've never done this in the beginning of the year fasting. So this is totally new for me. I didn't even know people did that or churches did that per se, because it's not been part of what our church, any church I've been a part of has done. So this is totally new for me, unattached to anything that, you know, traditions. But I want to start afresh of being connected with God and following and getting into a habit of doing that.
And
then, you know, whatever comes along the way, I think I'll be able to discern better and hear his voice as to when to move, what to do, what's opening, what's closing, and have that more of a peace than just ending up getting to a certain point in a fork in the road and then just getting stuck and then another detour based on disobedience as opposed to just, you know, forging ahead in obedience, even if it's going to be hard.
That's right.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Leslie.
I think that my closing thing, I think to ask yourself too, which to me is a big question, is do you trust him? You know, do you trust him? Because when you can see, you know, many people say that they do until they're asked to go to a whole different state and follow. You know, do you trust me when I tell you not to do this retreat and to do something else? Do you trust me when I, like, and I think that trusting God is so hard because they're like, huh, what? Did I hear you right? Or, but I can do this better if I, cause I know how to plan and I know how to, even people who don't plan, like I know that I can figure this out more. And I've learned the question, do you trust me? And I have to constantly answer that question, yes, and stop planning. I do trust you. I'm going to stop planning because planning for me and striving tells me I'm not trusting. I don't think you can. I don't think you can. And so the moment that I get into that tick, that habit, I have to step back and I'm like, nope, I trust you. And as a statement, not even a question anymore. Like, no, Lord, you know what? I trust you. And I know that you got this. So I'm going to let it go. And so I think that in this new year, just keep asking yourself, do you trust him? And just keep answering yes. And allow him to show you where he wants you to go. And he'll show you, or he'll pull you away, wherever it is. He won't allow you to go into a place where he doesn't want you. So that's where the trust lies, is that, you know, like I know that if I can move, because if he doesn't want me, so he'll close that door. And I'm like, okay, we'll move this way. But you got to trust them. You got to trust them.
Yeah. And I would say also understanding that the deeper, the more we start trusting God, that's going to go deeper and deeper each time.
Yeah.
So it's not a, I trust him. And done, you know, and then it's going to be fine. No, because then the next thing, as he takes us from glory to glory, right? Because that's what the scripture says. He takes us from glory to glory. Mm-hmm. That means that there's a deeper trust. There's a deeper understanding of who he is. There's a deeper intimacy with him. So as all of that happens, that means I have to acknowledge again, I'm going to trust him in this now. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to trust him in this.
Right.
And so, even when you were saying, some, I thought, you know, the disobedience, it's like, even us getting to the point where we acknowledge our disobedience,
right?
That takes time, you know? And I want to make sure that to the girl, the woman that's out there listening to this, who is trying to be in communion with God, who is trying to follow the steps and feels like, I'm following what you're telling me to do, God, and it all seems like it's going completely wrong. Trust that peace in your heart of knowing that if God told you to do this, he's walking you through it. Because that was my biggest confliction of, I know, God, you told me to do this. And so my prayer during the time, which is what I would say, you know, I would recommend praying, is, God, during this time, allow me to see with your eyes, to hear with your ears, and to feel with your heart. Because our heart's deceitful. It is. You know, and so if we have his heartbeat and we ask God, align my heartbeat with your heartbeat and give me the spiritual eyes to see, then when you're in those moments that you're conflicted, God comes through and God does show you. And I'm telling you, my battle, I cried more than I think I've ever cried in my life. And life's been hard, y'all. Like, I've not had an easy life. And so I cried that year so hard because the conflicting emotions were what was the hardest to reconcile with. Cause it was like, in my spirituality, I 100% knew I was in the will of God. And in my humanity, it felt 100% wrong. And so when you can ask the Lord to give you that and pray that prayer, he will come through for you and he will help you then begin to adjust your expectations. He will then make your heart's desires be more aligned with his desires. And then it really stops becoming about you, because that's the other part of it in all of this. When we go into these expectations and, Lord, I want this and I want this and I want this and I want this. And it's like, no, I want you, Lord. I want you. And then he gives us the rest of it. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and the rest of the things will be added on to you. Right.
Right.
So that is what I would say to whoever's listening. Just trust in the Lord, because it says, and lean not on your own understanding, but seek him wholeheartedly, and the rest of it will fall into its place. And it may is not, I'm going to tell y'all, I'm probably promise this to y'all, it's not going to look pretty. So just don't expect it to be pretty and wrapped in a bowl either. Just know that it's going to be through the grinding and through the pulling and all of that. That's where you're going to get to the most beautiful place that you have ever been within your walk with the Lord.
Amen.
It just is.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to add this quick and we'll wrap up. You know, as you were speaking, the scripture came to mind. And so when we're talking about false expectations, when we embrace and know in our hearts that God's ways are not our ways, in scripture, then we can actually know that when we don't understand things and we're walking in obedience, he'll make it clear as we go. You know, we don't always have to understand. And so, you know, as we go in and we're living 2021 and we're talking about, you know, fasting, it doesn't even have to, you don't have to even use that word if you're not ready to do like full on. But in order to understand his ways, we have to be more with him. It's like learning a new language. Mm-hmm. You know, immersed in a language is the best, fastest way to learn. And so to learn his ways, the best way is to be immersed. And if we have too much clutter in our lives, you know, social media, if we're worshiping our problems, because that's all we can focus on, that's another thing that gets in our way. You know, children and all these just, you know, interruptions of just normal life. And when we take those and put them in a pedestal above God, and we don't take time to actually be with him so that we can actually be equipped better to deal with those things, we will end up with a lot of false expectations. So my heart is for us to be able to remember that his ways are not our ways. And in order to learn his ways, we actually have to be with the master so that we are good apprentices. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So let's tackle 2021 on.
Yeah.
All right, girls, as usual, it's wonderful to chit chat.